right, LifePoint Church, how are we feeling today? At some point in time, y'all are going to be excited when I say that. I mean, I feel like at this point I would be trained, ready to roll, but I still not. So how's everybody doing today? There we go. It's much better. I'm telling y'all, we can be loud in church. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just very excited to have you all with us today. Thank you for choosing LifePoint Church to be your place of worship. Man, it's exciting. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day outside, a beautiful day in here. So we're just going to get going and jump right in. This is week two of our current message series called Pray. And actually, let me pause there. Let me give a shout out to the worship team because I don't know if, you know, obviously, you know, there's some missing faces. Mike was out today, and we knew that Jared was going to fill in. Jared got sick at like midnight and started texting me that he was sick and wasn't going to be able to make it. So Sam and the team pulled together and just made it happen. So shout out to you all. Thank you. We appreciate it. That's not an easy task. That's not an easy thing to the last minute to have to rearrange and actually get up here and lead people in worship. So thank you all for that. I appreciate it. And yeah, it's awesome. So again, jumping back in, week two of our current message series called Pray. And what we're doing in this series, we're spending 3 weeks just kind of taking a very simplistic but somewhat of a deeper dive into prayer and what it looks like and what it's about. And so last week we kind of did this prayer 101, right, where we just simply defined prayer as communicating with God, right? It's not super complicated. It's communicating with God, and the fact that we are blessed and have that just that ability to approach the throne of God and to do so with boldness is incredible. It's something that is humbling, that honestly we don't deserve, but it's incredible that we have that opportunity. And last week we talked about four very simple and very powerful spiritual truths that we see from Scripture and how we can best communicate with God. So if you missed that, feel free to jump back into the podcast, go to our website or whatever streaming site you go to get your podcast needs met. That should be there. So make sure you check that out. But now that we have this basic understanding and kind of framework of prayer, what it is, that it's very simple, and that we need to be engaged in it, I want to look at through Scripture and reveal and show you about five different things that actually matter to God when we pray. And that's what I want to look at today. What matters to God when you pray? Because there are some things. There are some things that we see very clearly in Scripture that matter. First and foremost, it's important that we actually are praying, right? That we're communicating with God. But there's some other things that truly matter. So we're going to run through some of those things during our time today. And it should be a good time. So the first thing that I want you to understand and to know that matters when we pray is that your relationships matter. Your relationships with the people around you, with the people that God has placed in your life, or the people that are around you that you may not know. But your relationships actually matter to God when you pray. Like, are you loving? Are you forgiving? Are you accepting? Are you welcoming? Like, how are you engaging and interacting with the people around you? How do you treat them? How do you love them? How do you engage with them? Because that actually matters to God when we pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, we see Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours," which is a beautiful and a great promise. But he doesn't stop there. And he says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins." See, your relationships really matter. They matter when you pray. And God is teaching us through Jesus, through his word. And it's important because I think a lot of us walk through life wanting and expecting God to forgive us, to answer our prayers, to hear us, to be in relationship with us. Yet we're neglecting the relationships with the people that God has placed around us. And we're not forgiving. and we hold grudges. We hold hate in our heart and bitterness in our heart. And that's not me doing this, this, and this. This is doing this. I mean, I struggle with that. I've been there. I mean, I've had to, in preparing for this message, I've had to think through, like, man, who are some of the people that I'm not forgiving? Unfortunately, some of those same names keep popping up that I'm like, no, I know, I need to forgive them, I need to forgive them, and I work through that, and then they just kind of, oh, it's still there. But we have to be aware of that. We have to focus on the fact that our relationships matter. Because again, like how can we honestly expect God to forgive us if we're unwilling to forgive other people? To go back to God time and time and time again, God, forgive me for this, forgive me for this, forgive me for this. And then hold hatred in your heart towards other people. Like it doesn't work that way. We are called to be loving. I say it all the time, very simple. Love God, love people. And we have to love the people around us. We have to be in relationship with them. We have to be willing to forgive because our relationships with other people truly matter when we pray. They matter. The second thing that I want you to see from Scripture is that your motives matter. And I think this is a very, very important piece when it comes to prayer, is that your motives matter to God when you pray. James chapter 4, verse 3 says that when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. It's pretty simple. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Your motives matter when you pray. I mean, they do. I think if you look through all through the Old Testament, or the New Testament, I'm sorry, when you look through the New Testament, time and time again, specifically when it comes to prayer, you see Jesus talking about the Pharisees, right? Like their motives seemed to be self-serving based off the words that we see and that we read in Scripture. That when they prayed, their motives weren't necessarily focused on communicating with God. They weren't necessarily focused on bringing glory to God, worshiping him, but they seemed to be more about glorifying themselves, standing on the corner loud for everyone to hear, speaking in slick words, bringing glory to themselves. Their motives, your motives, they matter. I think when we're praying for things and we're doing it out of the wrong motives, kind of like the Pharisees, you know, we tend to be like, man, did you like my prayer? It sounded good, didn't it? Did you hear me drop some of those big terms that I heard someone else pray? And I think when we do that, I mean, I think God looks at us and is just like, what are you doing? Just communicate with me. Because it's about me and you. It's not about what everyone else thinks. It's about our relationship. Your motives matter. Sometimes we find ourselves praying for some very selfish things. A lot of times we pray for selfish things and we mask it in the spiritual, but it's really self-serving. And I think we need to be very aware of that. We have to pay attention to that. We need to understand our motives. We have to focus on that. Know that when you pray, your motives matter. When you ask, you not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. And then in Proverbs 16, chapter 2, it says, all of a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. See, sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that our motives are pure, but they're really not. Do some self-searching. Think about what you've prayed about recently. Man, was it self-serving? Were your motives pure? Or were they not? We have to think about that because our motives matter to God when we pray. The third thing that we see when we look through Scripture is we see that the way you live actually matters. It does. Like the way you live actually matters and affects your prayer life. It affects your communication with God. The way that you live matters. How many of you all have ever maybe sat in a prayer meeting or heard someone pray, or you just know someone that's kind of like that prayer warrior and you're like, man, I wish that I had a prayer life like that, that was that powerful and that effective. Like, I just wish that my prayer life was like that. Yeah, so a lot of people, we get in that place and we hear that, but the reality is that you can. you can have that prayer life. You can have that power. You can have that effectiveness when it comes to communicating with God. But we have to understand that the way we live actually matters. Because see, when we look through scripture, it seems to indicate this very clearly, that the power and the effectiveness of your prayer really depends on how you live. James says it like this in James chapter 5, verse 16. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Again, that's simple stuff. It's not complicated. That's not, you need to spend, you know, 3 weeks studying that and breaking that down. That the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It doesn't say the prayer of a famous pastor is powerful and effective. It doesn't say that the prayer of a very vocal Christian or a meek Christian is powerful and effective. It doesn't say that the prayer of a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist or someone from the UCC or, you know, from a non-denominational church or whatever is powerful and effective. It says the power or the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Think about it like this, and I'm not trying to speak for God here. I've never tried to do that. Never fool myself. But think about it like this. When you think about that the way you live matters, think about if you were going to help someone else out financially, right? That they were in a tough spot financially and you were going to help them out. You were going to be loving, you know, your relationships matter and you're going to reach out to them. And so you have this one person who, you know, is in need, you know, but they're physically healthy, but yet they just turned down two different jobs because they feel like those jobs were beneath them and they chose to stay unemployed, but they're still struggling financially. And then the last time you think back, well, they were short on rent or whatever, so I helped them out. So I loaned them some money or gave them some money. And then later that same week, they're posting like, you know, Instagram pictures of their fine dining experience they just had. Right? So think about, would you want to give to that person? Or would you want to give to somebody that was in the same boat, but man, they were working like 3 or 4 different jobs, like just out there hustling, grinding, working hard, trying to provide for their family. And the last time that you helped them out maybe financially, man, they were so incredibly thankful. And they actually used those resources to provide and help their family out or to feed their family or to go to the grocery and be very wise with that gift that you blessed them with. Would you want to give to that person? The first person or the second person? And if you have any sense at all, you would be more apt to give to that second person, right? Because you'd be out there, you'd want to honor the fact that they were out there grinding, right? That they had that grit, that work ethic. They're out there, they're determined, working hard to change their situation. And you can have an opportunity to help. Because the way that they lived mattered to you and how you were going to help. Again, I'm not trying to speak for God, but it seems from scripture that the way we live actually matters to God when we pray. Now, don't twist my words on this. It's not all about performing. If anyone knows me, I'm not going to sit here and preach that kind of that mentality, that it's a performance mentality. But, you know, and understand that the sacrifice that Jesus made, his shed blood, is sufficient for the forgiveness of all sin. All sin, right? But there are also real world consequences that come from the decisions and the actions that we do, right? The decisions we make, the actions that we carry out, there are consequences for that. Yes, God will forgive us. He can forgive us, has forgiven us. But there are still consequences for the things that we do. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The way that we live actually matters when we pray. Now, that doesn't mean that if you can live a good life or a better life than the person sitting next to you or that person that you're kind of rivals with or just whoever, that if you can outdo them in the way you live, that God is just, he has to answer all your prayers. It doesn't mean that. And it also doesn't mean that if you've screwed up big time, like you've really blown it, that it's done, that God's not going to answer your prayers. It doesn't mean that either. But Scripture indicates that the way we live to some level matters when we pray. So we need to pay attention to that. We have to work on that. We have to seek God about that, to live in a way that glorifies him and honors him. The fourth thing that we see in Scripture that matters to God when we pray is that your faith matters. That your faith matters to God when you pray. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Your faith matters to God when you pray. It does. It matters. I think one of the many things that I love about our God is the simplicity at times. Yes, there's a lot to work through. There's a lot there. But, you know, when God seems to just really respond to childlike faith, especially in our prayer lives, just the faith of a child. But it's kind of sad how we at times just tend to overcomplicate things. For example, I think about my son Sawyer. Last week I talked about how, you know, we've tried to lead him into just being very open and honest with God when he prays, like holding nothing back. And sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure if he should say that in his prayer, or he should pray for that thing specifically like that. I don't know. And I think about maybe I should redirect him, but we let it go. We want him to communicate with God in the way that he's wired. And it's the same thing with that childlike faith that he has at times. And, you know, and we've seen like God like answers his prayers. I mean, he does, you know, when probably 2 or 3 years ago, or a couple years ago when former LifePoint was over at the building in Newburgh, on Newburgh Road, we were in a situation where Bellarmine had just purchased the building. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know whether we were going to be able to stay there or not. We were stressed out. I was stressed to the max because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, the word, you know, the early word we were getting was that they were going to, like, boot us out in a month. And so we were freaked out. And Sawyer heard me and Jen talking about it. And he's like, oh, no worries. I got this. And then he starts praying for it, praying that God will let us stay in that building. And sure enough, we were there for like another year and a half. Like, we were not expecting that. But it was just like, he wasn't worried about it whatsoever. Now, you know, of course, he doesn't have all the stressors and work through that, but it was simple. It was childlike faith. He's like, oh, we have a need? We need to stay in this building? Well, I'll just ask God. He'll take care of it. He had that faith, man, that faith like a child. And God seems to honor that. He does. That your faith matters when you pray. And we get so educated at time and so, you know, studied, and we overcomplicate this and this and that. And I'm not saying that those are bad things. We need to do that, and you should do that. But there's something about childlike faith when we approach God. And our faith matters when we come before him and when we pray. I love the story in the New Testament of the two blind guys that approached Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus, you know, they ran up to him and they're like, Jesus, like, just have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And Jesus said this to them in verse 28. And he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He leads with the question, do you believe that I can do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And the same God that healed them, that opened up those blind eyes because of their faith, is the same God that we come to today. That can do the same thing for you when you approach him and seek him in faith. Now, again, for some of you out there that are plotting, thinking, okay, I'm just going to have some faith because I saw that new Tesla and it's sick. It's really nice. So I'm going to have faith. I'm going to build up that faith, and I'm going to ask God for that Tesla. If that's you, you were snoozing or not paying attention just a minute ago when I said that your motives matter, right? So let's go back to that. Your motives matter, but your faith matters. It all works in together, right? But it matters when we approach God and when we pray. So our relationships matter, right? How we treat people, it matters. Your motives matter. The way you live at some level matters when we pray. And our faith matters. And the fifth thing that I want to share with you today is that God's will matters. That God's will matters when we pray. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Right? If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of. Right? We know that we have what we asked of him. That's powerful, right? But if we ask according to his will. Now, a lot of people are out there kind of hammering out and teaching this whole kind of name it, claim it kind of thing. I have some friends of mine that, you know, that have been a part of that and all into that. But I want to remind you this morning that it's about God's will. It's about his plan, and his ways are higher than ours. And sometimes we don't get it and we don't understand it, but it's about his will. And if we ask of anything according to his will, he will hear that. And we have what we have asked of him. I think about Paul. If there was anybody after his conversion that was like on it, that the way he lived, it was faith, you know, his relationships. I mean, he was on it. He was on his game. So you would think that if anyone approached God and asked something, that God would respond and give him that, right? Because he had it all wrapped up. But then we see how the will of God matters. Because when we read about his life and when you do some study, we see that he had this thing that just wrecked him, right? It was just devastating him. And we don't know what it is, but we know in scripture, he refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. And we read that he pleaded with God to remove it. Not just once because it was, bugging him or just stressing him out or whatever, but no, it says three different times that he pleaded. Not just asked, but he pleaded with God to remove it. And for some reason, even though he was on his game, serving God, glorifying God, doing all those things, God chose not to answer that prayer. And man, those are tough moments in life. Really tough moments in life. But we have to understand that God's will matters. And when Paul was pleading for God to remove this, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." See, God wanted to do something in Paul that was far beyond what his mind could understand, because it was his will. And it was greater and more wise than anything that we can ever comprehend. And I've seen this time and time again throughout my life. And it's not always easy. I know some of you have heard this story before, but I think about 11 years ago, which when I was thinking about that seems, wow, I'm starting to progress. But 11 years ago, when I first came to LifePoint as the youth pastor, I wanted nothing more than to be the full-time youth pastor here at LifePoint. That was my dream. That's what I wanted more than anything. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for that. And it never happened. Not even close. It never happened. And it was frustrating. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It just didn't make sense to me. But looking back, I see all that God did during that time. See, between that time and today, man, I was the youth pastor, then I was the assistant pastor, then I was the creative pastor, whatever that meant, then I was back to the youth pastor, right? In my job outside of here that I was praying that God would remove me from so I could be, full-time at LifePoint, I became a director. During that time, I also got my MBA. During that time also, I helped merge two multi-million dollar child-caring nonprofit agencies. Was on the leadership team of that. In that time, God has brought two churches, two beautiful churches together in this past year. I think about all the things that God has done as a result of that unanswered prayer in my life. It's an example of God's ways being better and higher than our ways. Because it's his will. And his will is perfect. The greatest example of this is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Praying before the crucifixion, knowing what was coming, knowing what was ahead, the pain and the suffering, and knowing why. But knowing what was coming, he in Luke chapter 22, 42, it's recorded that he prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take this cup of suffering from me. If there's any other way, may it be so." But then he responded again with the most beautiful words, faith-filled words that I've ever heard. "Yet not my will, but yours be done. God, if there's another way, please make it so. But not my will, but your will be done." You see, 11 years ago when I prayed that prayer, and I was frustrated and confused. I wonder what would my life would be like today if he had answered that. I wonder where I would be. I wonder if I would be here. I wonder what my family would look like. I wonder what my attitude would be like. I wonder what my faith would be like. I am confident and can honestly say that I don't think for a second it would be anywhere close to as amazing as it is today. No way. And all the stress of life that is currently my life, there's no way it would be this amazing because I'm blessed. And God worked everything out according to his plan, and his plan is perfect. His ways are higher than ours. We may not always understand it in the moment, but he's working all things together. He's doing his work. His will matters when we pray. So with all that being said, what matters most? Right? A lot of times in our world where we just like, okay, that's all great, but what matters most? We want to get down to the nitty-gritty. What matters most? And I want you to remember this, and I want you to, if you need to jot this down or whatever it is, but what matters most, above everything else, anything and everything else, you must have an honest relationship with God through Christ. Period, the end. That's what's most important, that you are connected to God. See, because if you do all those other things, it's pointless if you're not truly connected to the Father. John chapter 9, verse 31 says, "We know that God doesn't listen to sinners." Harsh, right? Right out the gate. He doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. If they're a worshiper of God and does his will, he listens. He hears you. You have connection with him if you're connected to him, right? See, there's so many people, I believe, throughout the world today, and many, many found in churches, especially all over the U.S. They know about religion. They know about God. But they don't necessarily really know God. They don't truly know him. Sure, they may be able to talk the talk. They may, you know, go through the motions. Man, but their hearts are far from him. They've never really come into that personal relationship with him. They've never confessed and believed. They've never given their life to Christ, laying everything down, putting all their faith and hope and trust in him. And they're not connected to the Father. And so that's what's most important. First and foremost, you have to be connected to God in an honest relationship with him through Christ. Through the shed blood of Christ, we can be connected with him and truly know him. So that's where you have to start. if you're seeking that powerful and effective prayer life, to know him, to communicate with him, to be in that intimate of a relationship with him, you first have to know him. But whatever it is, that area of your life, we cover five different things, and then this last and final thing of being connected with him. And know that God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to act on behalf of you. He wants to hear you. He wants to speak to you. And even if we do all those things, but we're not connected with him, we're just fooling ourselves. So make sure, above all, that you are connected to him. Let's pray. God, as we come before you today, Lord, and just, we're so, so, so thankful again. The fact that we have the ability to come before your throne boldly and just be in relationship. To be in communication with you, to be able to bring our requests to you. To be able to worship you. To glorify you, Lord, through our prayers. God, we're so thankful. We don't deserve it. Not for a second. Do we deserve to be able to have that direct and intimate relationship with you, God? But we are thankful. And God, during this time, I pray that you would just speak to us. God, whatever it is that we need to hear this morning, and that we would quiet our minds in this moment from everything that's going on in life, everything that's going on around us, and just connect with you. And may we hear from you, may we respond. Maybe you're here this morning and, I mean, you've been checking out the claims of Christ. Been just kind of figured this whole thing out. And you realize that you've never been connected to the Father in that honest relationship with him through Christ. I mean, if that's you, don't wait another second. Don't keep delaying. Don't push that off. Man, just give your life to him. Man, connect to the Father. He's there. He's ready. He wants you to come to him. So just call on him. Scripture tells us in Romans 10:9, one of my favorite passages of scripture, is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, from the dead, that you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing. It's about putting your trust and your faith and your hope in him and him alone. He says that once you do that, when you come to the Father and you connect with him, you're a new creation. And you can connect with him today. So if that's you, and just call out to him however he leads you. Again, it's not a prayer. It's not a specific thing. You have to, you know, I got to say it this way. No, just call on the Father. Be honest with him. Connect with him. Confess and believe. Just give it. Just lay it down. You connect with him. But maybe you're here today and you are connected to the Father, man, but your prayer life is tanking. It's rough. Or non-existent. Or maybe you've been praying, maybe kind of surface level, but you got some things in your life that are preventing or hindering your prayers from truly connecting with God. I feel like I've had a lot of conversation about this very thing this week. Prayer is important. Prayer matters. Prayer is critical. But the spirit in which we pray is incredibly important. The motives as why we pray are important. The way we live, our relationships, all of these things, our faith, man, they're important. They matter to God when we pray. If you're praying just to check it off your list and pat yourself on the back, honestly, don't waste your time. But if you want to have a real connection with God, a real relationship with Him, if you want that to thrive and grow, get your relationships right. Come to Him with pure motives. Focus on the way you live. Have faith when you approach Him. Confidence. Not in yourself, but in Him. And understand that ultimately His will matters, and it's good. Man, may we be a church of prayer. Not surface level. Not doing it to check off a list, but truly connected and in relationship with God. As individuals and as a united body. However God leads, whatever it is He's speaking to you, and you just do business with Him, whether it's to come to Him for the first time and just give Him your life, or whether it's just to get some things right, or maybe it has nothing to do with anything that I've said this morning, and that's cool. Go with that. Just may God move in your life. God, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, we thank You that You are in control of all things, and that you are greater than anything that we could ever do. God, I pray for each person that's here today, God, that You would speak to them whatever it is that they need to hear. God, may You speak to me as well. That we would continue to grow in knowledge and in truth. That we would grow closer to You in our relationship, in our passion, and our love, God. And may we love people more and more like You love people. God, may we be a church that prays. May be a church that is connected and in rhythms with You. Not in our own motives and desires, God, but Yours. At this time, if you just do business with God, as I've said, and if you'd like someone to pray for you, we'll have a couple of the leaders up front. If you want to come forward, they'll pray with you. They'll hear what you have to say. Maybe you just need to vent, just let some things go, whatever it may be. But during this time, you just do business as God as He leads.
Take away the melody. Take away the song I sing. Take away all the light, all the songs You let me write. Does the one I am today say the words You need to say? Let them see. Quickly through Your hand, I give my life an offering. Take it all, take everything. Let them see You. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. With every breath I breathe, sing a simple melody. See you. Let them.